The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Good morning, Northeast Ohio. You can tell by the sound of my voice, I am Cully Namar, sitting in for Bob France this morning. Thanks, Bob, for the opportunity to let me sit in this chair. And we're going to have a fun day, as we always do when I'm in studio. I got a special guest with me today, hanging out with me, and it's about damn time. My brother Dan Messina, good friend, co-founder of American Trinity Project, which we'll talk about later. Knowing this guy for 10 years, we've never done radio together. It's kind of ridiculous, but I had to like threaten him to get him in here today, but he's here. So we'll be talking about a couple interesting things today, including his work with an organization you may have heard of called Better Angels. We'll be talking about that. I got Jeffrey Sendelar coming in the second hour. We're going to talk about some constitutional issues, particularly what's going on with these vaccines, where the Justice Department has said that vaccines mandates are not unconstitutional. So we're going to be talking about that. Can the government force you to take vaccines? And we got a couple of other little goodies we're going to talk about. And some of it's frightening. I'll tell you what's frightening right now. What's coming across this border? Mexico, just as an example of Mexico, we have people come from all over the world across the southern border, but Mexico in particular. Mexico has a 90% unsolved murder rate. 90%. They have no ability to prosecute murders and crimes of any seriousness because they don't have the institutions. They have no criminologists. They have no investigative technology. So you have, out of every 100 cases of murder in Mexico, you have a 5% chance of going to prison. You know what that means, folks? That means there's a lot of people walking around the streets of Mexico and probably America from Mexico who have murdered someone and they've gotten away with it simply because they don't have the ability to investigate, prosecute you, convict you, and send you to prison. We have no idea who's coming across that border. That is extremely frightening when you think about it. We have our own murderers, we have our own criminals, but now we're importing criminals from around the world. Mexico's political violence is absolutely staggering. 85 politicians over the last couple of years have been murdered in Mexico. 30 of them were currently running for office, at least running for office at the time they were murdered. it's regular occurrences there to kill politicians. So we're bringing God knows who across this border. We've caught MS-13 members coming across the border from El Salvador. We've caught people who were deported multiple times coming back across the border, sex offenders coming across the border. We have no idea what we are dealing with. So when you think about it, if someone in Mexico has murdered 5 people, 10 people, we have no idea who these people are when they're coming across. And if you look at what's happened to Homeland Security, the number of people they've arrested over the last few months, it should be a cause for concern when you look at how this border has just completely come apart. So I saw a story this morning, which is interesting, and it won't be a major headline. And that is the Biden administration decided to keep the Trump asylum rule in place. And what that asylum rule said is that you had to remain in Mexico while awaiting your immigration status. So that's going to remain in place. They thought they were going to do away with it. And then they saw this mad rush for the border, and they said, "Well, we can't do that." So they quietly announced they're going to keep that rule in place, because the rule says you're supposed to apply in the first safe country you come to, not step across the border and say, "Hey, I'm claiming asylum." You don't fly here from like Uganda and then step across the border and say, "Oh, you know, I want asylum." No, that's not how it works. You're supposed to go to the first safe country and then claim asylum. But so many people were. Soon as Biden, you ever seen like the start of the Boston Marathon where you have all these people lined up and then they say go and everybody just starts running? That's kind of how it was on November like 5th when Biden won. It's like everybody just was at the border and there were people coming across the border. This is no joke, with Biden T-shirts on. One guy said, "I am here because Joe Biden told me to come." You know, it's like I'm not making that up. It's CNN clip. The guy said he was here because Biden told him to come. I mean, this is like unbelievable. You have our candidates who remember the debates. They were speaking Spanish, you know, and I speak Spanish fairly fluently. And I've been to Mexico a few times. I love, Latin music. I listen to, all kinds of Latin music. So it has nothing against Latin people. It's the process of immigration that has been utterly destroyed. And it's not just Latin people. We have people from 90 countries that are regularly trying to get here, and they know how to come through the southern border. So we have a problem, because if people knew the type of crime that goes on around the world that goes unprosecuted, where in South Africa, rape is so common and they don't have the institutions to lock these people up. So when people look at our prison numbers compared to other countries, it's really totally out of context. Because in some of these countries, they don't have the institutions to convict people and lock them up. If they did, their numbers would be higher. Try getting arrested and jailed in Saudi Arabia for domestic violence. It's basically not even a crime. So this is what people don't look at when they look. Context is everything. And I will never quote Jesse Jackson again ever in life. But Jesse Jackson said something that was fairly profound. He said, content without context is pretext. So if you present information without the proper context, you basically just have an agenda. And that's what you see going on here. People are citing our prison numbers versus other parts of the world as if they either have better people or they have a better criminal justice system. And neither one of those things are true. There's context to it. Are too many people in prison here for certain crimes that they shouldn't be? Yeah, I would lend some credibility to that argument. But also, a lot of people are in prison because they need to be for violent crimes. And other countries do not have the institutions, as evidenced by the crime rates in Central America, in other parts of the world, where people who have committed murder and all kinds of sex offenses are not in prison. But guess what? They're free to come to the United States. And then when we find them coming across the border, people are shocked and amazed. Well, just as we have criminals from the United States who flee to Mexico, I think they got a lot of them coming this way also. Who can forget the, what was that, the Mariel boat lift in 1980? What was it, Dan? Yeah, Mariel boat lift in Cuba, where Castro just emptied all of his prisons and sent everybody to Miami. You know, like he literally emptied his prisons. He said it was like flushing a toilet. Those are his words. And everybody just went to Miami. The Colombians came to Miami. Cubans came to Miami. And it took a decade to clean up the mess down there with all the drug crimes and the murders and the homicides. So we have always gotten some of the best people from around the world, but we've also gotten the worst. When the Soviet Union fell, we got a lot of criminals from this former Soviet Union. And it took some years to clean that up. We got Russian mobsters in New York City. We had to clean all that up. We always get some of the best and the brightest from around the world. We do, but we also get the worst as well. It's always been that way. So I don't think people really understand what's going on right now. This society, it seems to be breaking up, coming apart around the edges. While we're sitting, you know, distracted with the usual silliness, our quality of life is at stake. And if you look at what's going on the border and some of the border states, these people have been living with these problems for a long time. They're not being talked about as much, but people are living with serious issues in these border states. So I'm feeling that this is a bit of a sea change that doesn't feel like it's going to pass to me. I think it's going to get worse very, very quickly, particularly with the type of policies we have in place right now, immigration policies. And again, this isn't about immigration as much as it is about legal immigration and about how this border is absolutely ridiculously porous. So what's going to happen? The violence that is just across the border in, say, like Laredo, Texas, where cops are getting killed. People don't want to be police officers because you'll be murdered. People don't want to run for office because you'll be murdered. It's very soon that that's going to happen here. I believe so. It's inevitable that it's going to happen here. The reason why things don't happen here at the moment, the way they happen in, say, in Mexico or Colombia, for instance, you have the biggest, baddest gangsters here in America. They get an indictment. They go to court. They get convicted. They go to prison. And there's one reason why that happens, because the state has more guns. That's pretty much what happens. Well, in some countries, like I remember back in the 80s where you had Pablo Escobar, he had just as many guns as the state. So he attacked the Supreme Court and killed judges because he had money. He had guns. He had power. And his power was absolutely devastating. And it was actually it rivaled the power of the state. His money and his guns rivaled the power of the Colombian federal government. So he was able to get away with a lot of things for a very long time. Right now, the balance of power is in the favor of the state. But guess what? That could change very quickly. We could have a case where you're going to have people, you know, gang members, cartel members, who are going to rule or overpower the police in certain parts of the country. I mean, why not? Why not? You start attacking law enforcement. You buy off politicians, you threaten politicians, you kill politicians, which is what they're doing in Mexico. Then you have a failed state on your hands. And I'm not a doomsayer. I just know we're not immune to this type of thing. So with all of this that's going on, all of this unraveling of our border and of our civil order, we could be looking at some serious problems in the next few years. So a lot of these problems that we're sort of overlooking now, they're just going to continue to grow, and we'll look up and we'll have a major problem on our hands. Thanks to Sleepy Joe. Anyway, I'm a little concerned about that. I don't know about you, but I am. But anyway, I'm here in the studio. We'll be bringing on my brother Dan Messina next segment. And I'm Khalid Namar in for Bob France. See you on the other side. These are the things I could do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on, in violence. We're back live. I'm Khalid Namar on the Bob France Authority, and for Bob France. All right, I got a special guest. He's special to me. Longtime friend, associate. We've done a lot of good things together. He's got a new project he's here to talk about, and that is my good friend and brother, Dan Messina. How are you, brother?
I am doing wonderful. Thanks for bringing me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Oh, yeah.
We've never done a radio program together. It's like there should be some kind of after they do the insurrection investigation, they should look into this, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they got digital photos of me and they're tracking me down.
Oh, yeah, I can't say that. I should have brought that up.
No, I'm glad we're finally in. We've called in together.
Yes,
on our radio shows, but we've never sat in together.
Yep, good. So this is a long time coming, and you got something that you've been involved in.
Yes.
I haven't as much because I'm all over the place. But you've been involved in this organization that some people out there may have heard of. Tell us what you're doing.
Okay, so the thing I'm working with is an organization called Braver Angels. You referenced it earlier called Better Angels, and that's what.
Oh, that's what I said.
Yeah, you said Better Angels, and that's actually what it used to be called. They recently changed it to Braver Angels, and Braver Angels is a national grassroots citizen organization that works to unite conservatives and liberals, which we call them Reds and Blues, and independents in local alliances to depolarize our nation.
So you did say liberals. You didn't say leftist and Marxist.
I said, well, I mean, it could be. They could join if they think it's important. But and that is a distinction. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yes.
But basically, their objective is to have the political sides engage each other through meaningful communication. Braver Angel wants to foster what is called good conflict over high conflict. Uh-huh. And there's organizational psychologists and marriage counselors and family therapists are starting to use that terminology, and basically the idea of good conflict is it's not that conflict is bad, it's that you want a good spirited conversation. So I would say that good conflict, in sort of my way of putting it, is it's a good spirited debate with your opponent, as opposed to high conflict, where it's a volatile exchange where hostility and contempt are interjected towards your enemy.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a depolarized, I mean, it's a polarization. You demonize the other side and you make them something less than human.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because you and I have been, you know, following politics and very closely and more than most. And we've been out in the world on a lot of issues, monitoring the media over the last, particularly the last, say, couple of decades. If you look at how the rhetoric is ramped up, and I have talked about this many times, this overuse of calling people Nazis, that started under the Bush administration, like to the point where they were, you know, everybody was Hitler, or you're Nazis. Then what has happened in recent years, voters are starting to be attacked. Donnie Deutsch was on MSNBC saying that, well, now you have to hold the voters responsible. You're responsible, because you can't defeat the politicians, so you have to go after their base. So now it's the voters who need to be shamed and attacked as something other than human. In other words, if you're calling people Nazis are really, really, really horrible human beings. Right.
Yeah.
they're not just people, right, you disagree with. They're just bad human beings.
Yes.
So this term Nazi,
that's overused.
Yeah. Overused.
The term racist.
Yes.
Is also overused.
Homophobe, xenophobe, sexist. I got to get that Hillary Clinton clip, which is so classic. Not the deplorable one.
Okay.
The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic. I mean, it's like those are the words, the buzzwords. And those were used so much over the last decade or more. It's been ridiculous. So how do you plan to change, or at least combat, the rhetoric of those types of pejoratives that are directed at your opponents, all the isms, racism, sexism, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
The way that Braver Angels, the way they approach it is through the use of, it's aggressive. So right now it's a national organization, but they have alliances in all 50 states. They have almost 80 alliances. There's five of them here in Ohio. And the alliances are where the grassroots work is done. That's where it happens. And the idea is to put people together and have a structured approach to communicating each other. So you put reds and blues together, conservatives and liberals, or leftists too. You put them together in a room, and there are different programs which they have constructed, and for us to engage each other in a more meaningful way without necessarily turning it into a food fight.
Okay.
Like, for instance, there's a red-blue workshop, and that's something that I had attended. It was over 2 days. It was two three-hour sessions, and it was very illuminating to go through. But basically, those workshops, like red-blue workshop, for instance, brings together an evenly divided group of conservatives and liberals, reds and blues, for a series of exercises designed to help participants clarify disagreements, reduce stereotypes, stereotypical thinking, and discover common values.
Okay. We'll talk more about this on the other side, because I have some questions I'm going to throw at you. I'm going to make it very uncomfortable for you. Anyway, I'm Khalid DeMar in studio with my brother Dan Messina of Braver Angels. And we'll be on the other side talking more about it. Stick around. Welcome back to the Bob France Authority. I'm Khalid Namar, sitting in for Bob France today, having a blast with my brother Dan Messina of Braver Angels. He's in the studio today talking about this organization that's attempting to bridge the gap and tone down the rhetoric. Well, that needs to be done, because we've gotten to the point where, like last summer, you had people out in the streets like shooting at each other. It's like the worst political violence in my lifetime, certainly in your lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
We're on the same age. So, yeah, something needs to be done. But I think the media is largely responsible for this. So particularly when you and politicians, too, because one of my favorite clips. this is a great clip. I think it's, you know, Hillary Clinton describing, you know, her political opponents.
He has been racist. He's been sexist. He's been Islamophobic. He has been anti-LGBTQ. I mean, there's a long list. I don't think it's useful to say, oh, we figured it out. This is what he is. He has a view of America that is incredibly constricted.
Okay, so basically you hear this every election cycle. He hates women, gays, dogs, cats, you know, little kids, you know, and all kinds of other small animals. You basically just like, you just run down the list. You know, you don't like Arab people. You don't like foreigners. You know,
don't forget the dolphins.
The dolphins, you know, it's just insane. I mean, I'm telling you, this is what they said about Mitt Romney, one of the most milquetoast politicians ever, right? He doesn't like women. He wants to put them in binders. He doesn't like dogs. He tied up his dog on his roof. I mean, they just make you out to be like, you just hate everybody. You know? So, you know.
Well,
I'm sorry.
And that's kind of why I joined Braver Angels. I mean, it's to kind of turn down this rhetoric and to actually have, because then you don't listen to each other. You just kind of throw these labels out. And you stop thinking.
You're Hitler.
Right. And the reason why I'm on here is because with Braver Angels, it really picked up steam in the last year or so, actually through COVID, because you were able to do Zoom calls and do Zoom meetings. And so a lot of people were able to get out from home, and they were dying for some sort of human interaction. Mm-hmm. So they really picked up the pace here. And with that, they've grown tremendously. I'm here because there is a 4-to-1 ratio. For every one red or every one conservative, there are 4 blues or liberals. And they are looking to get more reds in. We even had to set up a special caucus in Ohio, the Ohio Red Caucus, in order for us to try to figure out how to promote more, to get more red membership in. Because we need political balance, or so this mission doesn't work. So I'm really appealing to our audience, or Bob's audience, to join Braver Angels, and that's braverangels.org.
Yeah. Well, and I don't mean to be a bit of a I'm not a skeptic. I think it's a great organization with great goals. I'm just okay. So after clarification is good, as Dennis Prager always says. Clarity over agreement. So you have to clarify where you differ with someone. You may not come to an agreement, but at least we know where we stand, correct? So there are people with 2 different visions for where this country should go. And it's difficult to bridge that gap between, it's like the Palestinians and the Israelis. Like, there's no bridging the gap there. The Israelis don't want to die, and the Palestinians want them dead. So just like, you can't meet in the middle, you know? You really can't.
We're not that bad.
We're
splitting.
We're splitting. There's a schism there, but I think the analogy here is just like what's my favorite line from American Carol movie that I always say. Of course, I love America. I just think it needs to be destroyed. It's you have people with different views of how this country should look.
All right.
And they don't look the same.
Well, okay, so I'll tell you with our alliance, and the thing that we're going to do with our alliance is we're going to be setting up in-person workshops. Well, we're either going to do it in-person or Zoom, or maybe a hybrid of the both. We're still trying to figure that out because we're not sure what's happening with the COVID thing. But we did set up rules of engagement recently, and I got approval from all my co-chairs for doing this. And one of the concept is that we will seek clarity over agreement. We want to understand the differences between the respective. We want to understand the differences between the respective positions without the burden of seeking agreement or even compromise. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, we will assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of rules of engagement we're going to do. Now, I pulled straight from Jordan Peterson's book. The last one is we will assess behaviors and not motives. We will not impugn the motives of those we disagree mm-hmm. with, but will assess what is said instead. Okay. That's really important.
Okay. Whatever, Dan, you're a fascist. Anyway, let's bring on somebody who knows a little bit more about this than you do. Larry's online. Larry, how are you, sir? Tell us about you. Who are you?
Hey, I am a co-chair with Dan in the Northeast Ohio Alliance, and I'm a red.
Okay.
And I really appreciate this program, by the way, and thanks for bringing Dan on. And I just want to say that I was very skeptical of this organization. I am a subscriber to the Epic Times.
Yes.
And I found some information about Braver Angels in an article, and I followed it up by going to their website. I wasn't ready to commit to this until about 3 months of watching videos on YouTube and whatnot. And as a Red, the reason is because we don't trust anybody anymore. We don't trust the media. We've been silenced. We've been squelched so much that, you know, when you begin to talk and give your point of view, you're almost afraid of being censored or maybe losing your job. It's been, you know, those kinds of extremes that we hear about. And so, you know, I was convinced this was a liberal organization that was trying to trick us to come in to convert us. And so after carefully watching the debates that go on and how they're conducted with such respect, and they follow Robert's Rules of Order, and nobody is allowed to name call or use trigger phrases or anything like that. Everybody's given equal time to talk and for rebuttal. I was so impressed with it that I did join and then made the mistake of offering to help out to get an alliance started in our area. And very quickly, they snatched me up and got me with Dan and a couple of blues, couple of liberals, which scared me. And I'll just tell you what, we all met in Bedford one night in person after talking on Zoom, and we found that even though we differ politically, we have become friends in every other way. And we agree on one thing, is that this political divide that's, you know, tearing up the country, tearing up our families. Yes. This is the thing, and I experienced this in my own family. It's tearing up churches, organizations, that there has to be a better way. And this is wonderful, and this has even been presented to Congress by one of our founders, Braver Angels founders, recently. So this is beginning to be used. These methods are beginning to be taught and used in a lot of different ways. And it's been life-changing for me, I will just say that. It may not work for everybody, but I will say that it's given me a place to be heard as a conservative. Yes. That's rare nowadays.
Yes. Well, so, let me jump in real quick. Let me jump in real quick. We're going to keep you on. We're going to hold you over because this is a good discussion. We'll carry it on the other side because I have some things I want to add, particularly about the media. I'm Khalid Namar. And for Bob France, I'm here in studio with Dan Messina of Braver Angels. Stick around. We'll be back on the other side. Welcome back to the Bob France Authority. I'm Khalid Namar, in for Bob France. And I'm in studio with Dan Messina, Braver Angels. And online we have Larry, who is a co-chair of the, what is it, Northeast Ohio branch?
Yeah, the Northeast Ohio Alliance.
Larry, you're still with us?
Yes, sir. Okay, here.
So something I want to point out. In recent years, there's been this uptick of pressure from certain groups to go after not only voters, the voters, who have a certain point of view. So you're wrong for voting, and we're going to come after you and shame you for your vote. But then there's this showing up at people's homes, which really disturbed me. People who are carrying out government policy, say that ICE agents and Border Patrol are having people show up at their jobs and their place of work to intimidate them because they don't like the policies. And even though these people have jobs and they are doing their lawful duties, mobs are coming out to intimidate them into not doing their jobs. And this is something that was a new level of hostile discourse that has started to take place over the years, where you have a mob outside your house because you put on a uniform and they don't like what you do. Or you're calling people who work for our Border Patrol, Gestapos, and stormtroopers and this sort of thing. This is coming from politicians. And I think they are the ones who need to be in your organization. and the media has been their mouthpieces in this type of rhetoric, going after people who just have jobs and have positions that these people don't like. So how do you deal with this type of mentality coming from the top? You know,
right. Politicians? Well, that's a great question. And the good news is, like I mentioned, our founder was, you know, presenting Braver Angels and what it could do to help those at the top. See, the problem is people come in and they get elected into Congress, and there is absolutely no training provided. There's no training on relationships, on how to work with the other side. So, you know, over the years, this has just become adversarial completely. And so what they're proposing is, hey, we need to back up here, and we need to look at providing training. And they're actually doing these workshops now. This is totally voluntary, but they're doing these workshops and providing them for different congressmen and having their staff, are you ready for this, meet one-on-one, conservatives with, you know, liberal staff members, and getting to know each other and beginning to, you know, see that there's a human on the other side of the aisle. And, you know, this is one of the you know who Saul Alinsky is, I'm sure.
Oh, Roots for Radicals, yes.
Right. And so in the playbook, you know, the power tactics when it comes to community activism, that's one of the things that radical lefts have utilized. And that's, you know, one of the things is the tactic is just ridicule, just using ridicule and attacking a person, because attacking organizations don't necessarily have the same effect as attacking an individual. So you mentioned that. That's one of the tactics, a Marxist tactic right there. And threats, using threats, which they say are more terrifying than actually doing something. So, you know, the fear, the threats, that all that is pressure to be put on the other side that's very hard to deal with. And what happens is those on the other side of those attacks have to react. And, you know, you're at a disadvantage at that point. And then, just like in sports, the second guy to hit in retaliation always gets the blame, right?
Right, yeah.
That's the one who always gets called on the penalty. So the problem is then, you know, the right looks like the evil empire all the time because they're retaliating.
We don't have a media that helps us sort of come in with a balance or a fair balance on it. And so sometimes it's
right.
A lot of lopsided reporting, or it's taken out of context or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear you, Larry. Oh, I wanted to go back to our conversation about what we were meeting together. We met for dinner, like Larry said, it's two reds and two blues. That's the co-chair. We're head of the alliance. We're the leaders of the alliance. And we were there for several hours, and we talked about, of course, it's straight. We had straight on politics, and I talked about me being there January 6th, and they were very interested. My blue co-chairs were very interested in hearing what I saw, what I experienced, what happened that day. And then this great moment happened where at the end of the meal, where we all go to pay, we just paid Dutch. I pull up my card, and I have an American flag on my Discover card. And I've only seen one other person have this. But my co-chair, Kelly, she pulled out her card. And it was also had the American flag on it. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. So it was a good moment for us because it's like it showed there was this, like, okay, there's something we could agree on. We both love America.
Yeah, and I think real quick, we got about 4 minutes left. what I see the commonality, what's going on now with this anti-racism movement, as an example, which is a radical movement. People know anything about history and abolitionism. Many people back in the day during slavery were against slavery. Okay, they weren't down with slavery. They were opposed to it. They wanted it abolished. However, they didn't necessarily like abolitionists. And they didn't like abolitionists because abolitionists were so radical that they turned off fair-minded people to working with them and associating with them. I think Noah Webster was quoted as basically not liking abolitionists. He was against slavery, but he wasn't too fond of abolitionists. And John Brown, who was an abolitionist, you know, hero to some, he was so radical, even Frederick Douglass didn't want to have anything to do with him. He wanted Frederick Douglass to participate in the Harper's Ferry raid, and Frederick Douglass was like, I'll get back to you, and he left town because he knew that this guy was a little bit off his rocker. So you can be against racism, but not for the quote-unquote anti-racists who are so radical, who are about attacking individuals and forcing them to behave in a way that they think is acceptable.
Well, the Braver Angels actually has a workshop for talking about race and racial issues. And there's a few of them coming out. So, and they're always building more and more of these events. And once again, this is for grassroots.
Do you all, excuse me, we got about 2 minutes. Do you have chapters for college and high school kids? Because I think they need.
Yes, actually. There's, they do debates, college debates, and they have, they're looking to get into colleges as well. And some colleges have asked.
So give out the information again to your website, and then we'll give Larry the last word.
Okay, it's braverangels.org. It's that simple, braverangels.org. Go there. When you join, if you join as a member, they will put you in an alliance. They find where you are, and you join that alliance. Or if you don't, even if you don't want to be a member, you don't have to be, but you can just go and you can peruse the events. They always have a listing of events, too. That's a great thing.
Okay.
So braverangels.org. Okay.
And Larry, we'll give you the last word.
Well, I would just say to people, do not let fear control your attitudes towards others, because it will rob you of some awesome opportunities to get to know people. So rather than trying to convert and preach at people your point of view, ask questions. Ask a simple question. When you don't agree, how did you come to that, in your life? How did you come to that thought or that decision? And you'll find out some interesting things. You may not agree with them, but you'll find out a lot about your neighbor that way.
Well, good. Dan has been asking me to get involved in some of these things. I think I'll make time to get involved and start a fight. Anyway, thanks, Larry, from Braver Angels for joining us. It's been very, very enlightening. And Dan, you're going to hang around a bit, right?
Yeah.
All right. Next segment, next hour, we have Jeffrey Sendelar Jr., to talk about some constitutional issues. I'm Khalid Namar, and for Bob France, stick around. Baby, I'm howling.